Hello and welcome to the Friday, February 1st, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Typically, I wait with podcast-related announcements to the end of the podcast, but got a special one today. Last couple days, I heard some users, in particular if you use the iOS podcast application, didn't actually make it to the end of the podcast, but it sort of started looping after about 2 minutes. Well, if you're still having that issue, please send me an email or contact me. It should be fixed. At least in my testing, it worked. But there are so many podcast players out there, it's really hard to test them all. So if you have any problems playing the entire podcast, let me know. And let's take a quick look at diaries. I announced today that March will have an IPv6 focus month. What I'm looking for here is really first stories about how you implemented IPv6, what problems you ran into, any security issues that you had. So if you're willing to write a little post about any of that, let me know. Or if you just have a topic and you want us to write it up, if you just have some data or so, just let me know. The real reason for this is that we're trying to build up a little bit the operational experience that everybody is missing when it comes to implementing IPv6 correctly. And while we're talking about operations, it looked like Amazon had some outages today, Twitter as well. It doesn't seem to be related to the denial of service attack, at least nobody admitted to it at this point, and neither side really let us know any details about what happened. And then we got some more Java news, this time not new exploits or vulnerabilities, but more side effects of prior fixes. First of all, there are reports that in particular in server environments, upgrading Java 7 also removed Java 6. Now, it's important to understand that these major versions of Java are not compatible with each other. So certain software is written for Java 6 or Java 7, and as a result, you may have both versions around. Now, within each major version, of course, you should only have the latest, and that's usually referred to then as Java 7 Update 11, for example, being the latest Java 7 version. So if you're having issues with Java after the update, take a look if Java 6 is still around. And in some cases, you may actually be able just to use Java 7, but you may have to reconfigure your software to actually use Java in the right path in order to use Java 7. And then Apple went ahead and blacklisted Java again, and that's the very latest version, Java 7 Update 11, via XProtect. So that essentially turns off Java, and that's Apple's reactions to the ongoing problems with Java. They did that with Java 7 Update 10 just before the update was released for that. And then you probably heard about the attack against the New York Times. The New York Times was breached by some customized malware. One of the parts that I found interesting in the article describing the attack was that 53 computers were compromised, which is a relatively small number for a large network like the New York Times. But on these 53 computers, more than 40 different pieces of malware were installed. So pretty much every system had its own custom malware, which of course makes incident response that much harder. One of the first things you usually do is if you find a malware on one system is you're looking for the same malware on other systems, which of course you're not going to find in this case if a different malware, different names, different checksums and such will come back. The initial exploit hasn't been really identified yet, but it is assumed that it was spear phishing. So one of the affected journalists probably received an email with an exploit or a link that led to an exploit. With all the malware going around, it's sometimes a little bit hard to figure out what's the actual damage. Now, there is an interesting study that was released in Germany where they asked people if they're using online banking and if not, why they don't use online banking. Turns out that about a quarter of bank customers do not use online banking because they are afraid of malware. That's my opinion, where sometimes the real cost comes from in breaches and malware. That's this loss of trust, where people just don't use some tools like online banking. And then, of course, companies like banks, in this case, have to keep supporting more expensive paper-based methods. They wouldn't have to if people would trust online banking. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.